Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love the Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See,
you were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cut.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything about. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship, I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy shit. Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
What I mean, goosebumps. Hell? Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Spiegs and Tanny took the holiday. Happy Juneteenth to everyone. Alex and I are here. I'm Lawrence, by the way, if you're not familiar with my voice. Although it's probably sounding better today than it was yesterday. We've got you until 6 o'clock. We are going to check back in with Bruce Levine around 5:20. He has talked to a bunch of Cubs people. He's been in the Craig Council press conference, and we will talk with him around 5:20. I kind of thought that we could do a little bit of an old school show today and do some calls. So if you're a Cub fan that is leaving Wrigley Field or you are watching or listening to the game and you want to talk about the team, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. 312-644-6767. There really isn't a ton else going on. I could rage about how silly the Cincinnati Bengals are being if you want it, but I'd rather talk with Cub fans about the team because there's a couple of observations that I made today that I wanted to run past you. So, yeah, I get to work with Studs a little bit today. He is here hanging out. I saw Sean Sears in the hallway cutting stuff up for us. And Alex is in full space command. Cubs lose 8-7. You know what's funny, Alex? Robbie and I were talking because I got here before the game today. Usually I'll watch half the game at home, drive in, and watch second half here. I got in before the game, and we were talking, and I said, this has got the feel of an 8-7 type game. And then, of course...
Wait, so you did say you said those words?
Yeah, it just... Okay. It felt like it was one of those days where the ball was going to fly out of the ballpark. They got some good licks in on Jameson Taillon. What are the Cubs calling him? Talion?
I think so. Jed called him that the other day.
Yeah, I think that's a thing. I think we're not supposed to notice that they're doing it wrong, but we're noticing that they're doing it wrong, and they kind of want us to notice that they're doing it wrong. But he had a rough day today. I'm sure Dustino was high-fiving himself.
Get those shirts printed.
I mean, he gave up some bombs today. There's no doubt about that. But there's a couple of things that I wanted to discuss as it pertains to today's game. One, here's a question for you, and you're more than welcome to talk about it via the text line. I see the folks on Twitch are out there inside the mob. I don't know. I don't think we have video whenever we have a shortened show, there's no video, but I appreciate everyone who is hanging out and listening and interacting via Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Because this Cubs team this year, and we're almost halfway through. I mean, next week we'll be halfway through this season. Because they've been so good, how much easier is it for you to not let a loss like this affect you? I enjoyed watching the end of the game, and I enjoy, like, I'm sitting there writing down my notes, and I go, oh, you know, you look at this game, get to 8-3. Then when Hap hit the two-run shot, I wrote parenthetically, makes it a game again at 8-5. And then that eighth inning, the level of engagement from Cub fans this entire game, this would have been a real easy game to hit the eject button on. It's like, oh, you know what? It wasn't Tyone's day. Cubs offense didn't get enough done. And then they started storming back. And you have yourself an excellent comeback, a fun game, entertaining baseball being played. The Brewers continue to pull guys out of their bullpen that are just throwing 100 miles an hour. Some really bad home plate umpiring, too. Balls and strikes stuff, it's pretty bad today. Most of that benefited the Cubs, though. But isn't it nice to feel confident in a Cubs team that right now doesn't really have a peer? And I know they lost the game, but when you look at the two teams that, or the three teams that are trailing them closely, one of them is playing on the south side, and they're going to probably pick up another win this afternoon. They're playing a doubleheader. Oh, and by the way, I know the White Sox aren't listening because they got other things, but how about you tell someone that Maya is throwing out the first pitch? I would have absolutely delayed coming in here and stopped over there had I known that the love of my life, Maya, was throwing out the first pitch. I write comic books on the side, and I'm started one, and one of the things is Maya at the Chosen Few picnic, because I saw her at the Chosen Few picnic a few years ago, and she was outstanding. So just, you know, help a brother out. Let us know that Maya's in the building.
That would be something to get people out at the ballpark.
Hell yeah!
Ray Diaz told me after it happened, but apparently nobody knew.
Well, if she's still going to be in town, if you're the Cubs, you make a phone call. Not that they need help, but Maya should throw out the first pitch over at Cubs tomorrow. It's a 120 start. She's doing a show tonight. She'll probably be in town tomorrow. Just let someone know. That's all we ask, is that we let someone know. So we want to talk with you about the Cubs, and we want to talk about how this team is pretty good, and that you don't have to live and die with every game, even though you care about every game. 312-644-6767 is the number. We will come back, talk more with you, talk a little bit about Pete Crow Armstrong as well. He did something that no other Cub has done. So we'll get after that after a station ID. Don't worry, we're not taking a break. We're just doing a station ID to get caught up and get back on time, and then we're going to talk with you.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
Pete Crow Armstrong leads off and drives one off the video board. It's like we're watching a movie starring Pete Crow Armstrong.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station. The
Score! This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids.
And I listened to your call of the home run of Pete two nights ago in the eighth inning, and the Pete Crow Armstrong movie in the eighth inning, that was really good. That was a great call.
It was so magical, yeah. Ron. It just kind of came to mind. It was almost like it was part of a fantasy, like a movie script that somebody had written.
Here's a swing and a drive, deep right field. It's got a chance, gone.
Armstrong has homered again, and the Cubs take a 2-1 lead.
Can we say sequel?
The incredible run that Pete Crow Armstrong continues, it's amazing what he's done. He is the fastest Cub ever to record 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases. Doing that before the All-Star break is absolutely ridiculous. Obviously, a couple nights ago, he has that great eighth inning where he ends the inning with a great catch, comes up, hits a bomb, and he's not getting cheated. I am so glad that he is performing this way. And as you know, if you're a listener to the Spiegel and Holmes show, we discussed this at the beginning of the season. To me, I always hated, and I hated when Spiegs did it, and I told him, the idea of, well, Pete Crow Armstrong's got to use his speed. If he were a slappy, if he was some slap ass that couldn't hit the ball, then I would say, yeah, he needs to hit the ball on the ground and try to run it out. And then if he gets on first base, then he can steal. No, the guy clearly has pop in his bat. And I'm glad that he didn't allow for the struggles that he had in the first half of last season or the beginning of this season to determine what type of offensive player that he was going to be. I don't know if any of it will continue. I suspect that it will, even though he is a guy that swings a lot. He's a guy that chases a lot, but it hasn't hurt him yet. And I'm just happy that he is allowed his swing game to help determine what type of offensive player that he's going to be. And what he is right now is a candidate to be most valuable player in the National League. 312-644-6767. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. I'm Lawrence. I got you until 6 o'clock. Let's start with David. Hey, David, you're on the Score.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just leaving the Cubs game. I was pretty entertained. Three things. The pitching performance by Cabrera, for one. I don't think maybe we can trust him that much. The other two things were, Matt Shaw and Kyle Tucker had a couple poor at-bats in key moments. That was a little disappointing. But one thing that disappointed me at the end was Craig Counsell used up all his speed for pinch runners in the eighth inning. And, boy, we sure could have used one of them pinch runners. Kyle Tucker up to the plate and avoid the double play.
Well, he was trying to tie the game. So you're looking at what, when the bases were loaded and you pinch run for Brujan, at the time you were looking at the winning run, right? Like that would have, it was 8-6. No, 8-5. It was 8-5. So that's the tying run that you're putting on first base. Here's what I don't want to do, and this has become a mantra of mine, so remember it, Alex. I don't want to treat every Cubs game like a Bears game. When we get later on in the season, we can do some of that, but not at game 73. And like the idea of, well, now I'm concerned. It was one game that they had a chance. That the winning run was at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning. And for the most part, that's all you can ask for a game where you're down 5 runs. And then you rally back. So I'm trying to give y'all props for not acting like this. Like, there's a lot of good things to be excited about. Shota is going to pitch tomorrow. And if he is okay, then he could rejoin the team next week. As early as next week. And probably, if there's nothing drastic, as late as the week after that. But I don't know if we need to. There were no blunders. I play a lot of chess, and I'll play on chess.com, and they can review your game for you. And it's like, oh, excellent move. Good move. Blunder. There were no blunders by Craig Counsell in today's game. Alex, you look like you want to say something.
No, I was just going to say that they lose this game and they still come out of it 5.5 games up over the second place team in the division. And had they had a couple of bounces gone their way, Saya hits that ball hard.
Yes, he hit the ball very hard, and it ends up being a double play. But I thought Council did exactly the right things by getting speed on the bases in the inning where you were rallying. The idea being that what you were looking at in the bottom of the ninth was the top of your order anyway. I'm just saying that we don't have to do forensic accounting on games where there's not like a blunder.
Forensic accounting?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's what that guy was doing.
No,
he's like, oh, let me tell you about this guy and that guy. And I think that really hurt us. And we don't have to. It's not a Bears game. It's just one day over at Wrigley Field. And it went okay. They just lost. They were able to rally after not a good start from Tyone, who's been fantastic over the last 2 months. All right, let's go to Tony. Is this Tony? Tony, you're on the Score.
Yeah, hey, Lawrence. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
No problem.
A couple points here. First off, I never thought I'd find myself saying this, but I'd rather have Seiya Suzuki playing right field over Kyle Tucker right now.
Well, okay. So you're reading my notes a little bit, because that ball that dropped between him and PCA.
Yes, I think that's a big difference maker.
Yeah,
that game. He's playing the outfield very timid. It looks like he doesn't want to get hurt. I know he has a big contract looming, but I want a guy who hustles and goes after the ball. When you play timid, you're more likely to get hurt. So right now, again, I never thought I'd find myself saying this, because last year Suzuki made some errors. I'd rather have Seiya out there. Look at Tucker's slug, just get his bat down, hit more homers for us. Right now this guy is not playing like a $5 million superstar. He's just not. My second point.
Wait, can we talk about your first point for a second?
Sure, he's still got great numbers. I get that.
Yeah, so I understand you're upset.
Right fielder.
I understand that you're upset. He's still a 900 OPS player.
Yes, he's still got a great slash line. His numbers are great. I get that. But he is not a Gold Glove right fielder by any stretch of the imagination. And right now, each time Suzuki's had a chance to play right and Tucker's been on the bench, Suzuki's done a great job.
All right, your second point.
My second point, I still think we need a third baseman. Matt Shaw makes a lot of weak contact. I really think the Cubs should try to go after Austin Riley. I know the Braves GM said they're not going to sell, but listen, this game's 6 games out of a wild card, 11 back of the lead. I think they're going to end up selling. Go get Austin Riley and replace the Matt Shaw. Shaw just does not have enough hard contact for me.
All right, I appreciate the phone call. To speak to the Tucker thing, I'm with you. This is one of the things that on Spiegel and Holmes we've been logging. I don't like the way he's played right field this season. He's going to be in the lineup every day. He takes bad routes. I agree with you that there is a timidity to him when it goes to making decisions. I also think that he's probably looked over at the other side of that outfield and gone, yeah, Ian Happ goes so hard after the balls, and so does Pete Crow Armstrong, that sometimes those guys end up in communication snafus. I'm going to let the kid get whatever he can get and then back him up. But yes, that I thought, one, he took a bad route to that ball that dropped in front of him, and two, I thought he went a little timid. Thought he went a little timid to that ball. It's the only thing that I can say about him in any sort of negative connotation as a player. He has been everything that the Cubs would have hoped for from an offensive standpoint. And if you were him, you might feel similarly. I know that we all think that guys get hurt when they're not going 100%. We would have to really do some research on that to find out, because there's a guy who's hoping to play point guard for the Pacers tonight that went 100% and got hurt. And I'm sure that the Pacers would have loved it if he would have played 80% and not gotten hurt, and he'd be available tonight for them instead of what looks like an elimination situation. But we'll see if the Pacers can make some magic happen down there. 312-644-6767. Bruce Lemine is going to join us from Wrigley Field coming up in a little bit. Hi, Andrew. You're on the Score.
Hi. I have a question for you about the Kyle Tucker extension. So just kind of go the reason I have this question is we're seeing Pete and Saya have pretty good years so far.
Great years.
And especially Pete. I was not expecting this out of him last year. I know he's a showman. I mean, I knew we expected that to get better. But the thing is, Kyle Tucker, I think it's safe to say he's not kind of at what we expected him to be playing at. And Pete and Saya have been leading offensive categories over him. So my worry is maybe there's a thought. Do you think there's a possibility of there being a thought in the front office of, hey, you know, we have Pete and Saya for the next several years. Why go out and try to make a $500 million contract to get Kyle Tucker? And do you think that that hurts his chances of being extended as a Cub?
I don't think that there's a real chance of him being extended as a Cub. I think that there's a chance that he re-signs with the Cubs. I think that he goes to free agency. He goes to market, as he should. Like, this is the one time in his career that he gets to break the bank. Now, if he proves me wrong, it's great for everybody. But if you were advising him, would you say that he should take an extension? I wouldn't. I would tell him to go to market and see what's out there. Because if there's $310 million for Rafael Devers, what's out there for Kyle Tucker? As for, and I want to get back to the other caller's point too about Saya, I think Craig Counsell has done a really good job of having Saya get in there as a replacement, finding ways to get him. Alex, that cut that we have from Jed on Saya, see if you can find it. Let me know when you got it. Because I think that speaks to it. The way that they've handled Saya in saying to him, we went out and traded for Kyle Tucker. He's going to play primarily right field every day. We have a Gold Glover in center. We have a Gold Glover in left. That doesn't leave a lot of space for you. You're going to have to be this team's DH. And I think Saya's done an incredible job of handling that role. The other thing is just because, even if it's a bad week or whatever, I don't want y'all to trip too much about Kyle Tucker saying Tucker hasn't done what you expected. Kyle Tucker's a 3.1 WAR player right now. So that projects out to him being about a 6.5-7 WAR player this year. He's been terrific. He is also in the MVP conversation. So don't flip out. The guy is a 900 OPS. He's really good. When we talked with Jed Hoyer earlier this week, we talked about the conversations that he had with Saya about just being a DH.
That helped knowing the player. Like, you know, we brought Saya in. We had Craig and I got on the phone with him. You know, we had Zooms with him in Japan to talk about it and to make it clear. And I think that because we had the relationship, I think that was something that we were able to do. And I think it's worked out really well. And he is playing. I think we're trying to get Kyle and Ian off their feet and give Saya days in the outfield. And he's done a great job with it. And he's having a great year. But I do think we benefited from having the relationship. But we were very straightforward and very transparent about the situation. And I think Saya handled it really well.
I think he handled it really well too. And I think that's where we're at. I also don't, like, if people are already texting in, Tucker in his last 30 games only has 3 home runs. Right. And would you like to know what his slash line is in the last 30 days? Because I can tell you, in the last 30 days, his slash line is 308, 425, 481. He's been a 900 OPS player for the whole year. And in that same 30-game stretch that you're talking about, he's been a 900 OPS player. Y'all getting weird. What's with all the weirdness? Is it because PCA has been putting on a show that y'all are like, oh, no one else matters? This Cubs lineup has been really good. Whether we're talking about PCA or Kyle Tucker or Seiya Suzuki, who I think deserves some all-star love, even though it's DH, or Michael Bush, their lineup has been lengthened because Kyle Tucker is in it. And I think that that's another part of why I think Pete Crow Armstrong has been able to flourish a little bit this year. Craig Council's been able to put him in different places in that lineup. So the three home run thing, he also hits doubles. And doubles are really good for slug too. Just thought I'd point that out. We need to take a break. We'll take more of your phone calls, but we'll also talk with Bruce Lemine. He is at Wrigley Field. We'll hear what he has to say about this historic start. And yes, it is historic. From Pete Crow Armstrong. That's next here on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Four.
You told us yesterday that Willie told you to enjoy the moments, and you had one in center field. Was that one like today? Shake that in.
Which one? Sorry.
After your homer, when you went to pick that.
I mean, yeah, those are the coolest moments, I guess. You know, there's not many places that give you an ovation during the game when you're walking out to defense. So, I mean, that always feels very, very special. And yeah, those are my people out there. So I love the interactions we have on a daily basis.
Pete Crow Armstrong talking about the fans at Wrigley, the fans in center field. Everyone is enjoying watching what he has done so far. Now the fastest Cub ever to be a 2020 guy. That's insane. 73 games to be able to put that on your resume is pretty outstanding. Bruce Lemine is at Wrigley Field. He just finished up inside the clubhouse and talking with Craig Council. He joins me now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us and hipping us to that soundbite from PCA. I feel like the answer is pretty simple. Like, to me, the last player that was exciting like this was Javi Baez. But watching PCA do what he's done and the way that he has just grown exponentially as an offensive player has been wonderful to see.
Well, it really has, Lawrence. And just the idea that we're starting to put PCA in the company of guys like Baez and then comparisons to the most popular players in Cub history after a shade over a year playing baseball. And the cool thing about this, I believe, Lawrence, for Cub fans and us in the media, everybody else watching this guy, is we don't know what the ceiling is. He doesn't know. I remember talking to him after a game in April where all of a sudden we saw him hitting home runs, and he said, you know, I said to him, you said you're not a home run hitter. What are you? He said, I don't know who I am yet. So that was a fascinating soundbite back then. I think it still can be stated that way. We don't know who this guy is yet. We know that he can beat you 3, 4, or 5 different ways. It's just been a real fun time for Cub fandom to watch this guy play every day.
So last year when the power started to turn on for him towards the end of the season, what did people around the Cubs say about any sort of changes, or was it just him getting used to the league that we've been able to see the offensive power be a part of his game?
Now, here's the thing, Lawrence, and it's a great question because I've been asking a lot of baseball people about it. If you go back and see the 20 home runs, a lot of them are down and in breaking balls. some are high and away fastballs. He's a bad ball hitter. He can hit a bad breaking ball. He can hit a fastball out of the zone, bad breaking ball being out of the zone type breaking ball. So there's no clear-cut way to negate what he can do other than maybe like all bad ball hitters, maybe throw one right down the middle, okay? Because the bat speed is electric. The adjustments that he has made on offense and defense is incredible. And again, there's just so many things going on at once as far as this player development, which everybody is watching on a daily basis. And the player development is morphing into one of the better players in the league and a certain all-star, you know, a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And he, I think Javi is the comp when it comes to like liking the spotlight. Like, I know that the spotlight, especially the first 6 weeks of the season, was on Kyle Tucker. I don't think that he particularly likes it. I think that he likes what it's going to get him. But with PCA, there is, I don't want to call it a thirst, Bruce, but there's an acceptance of it, and there's a leaning into it that he does that I think it's exactly what baseball needs.
I agree with you. And, you know, you can go back in time and, you know, I go back to obviously the Ernie Banks era, but when Dawson came here in 87 and electrified people with that MVP year coming over from Montreal, signing that $500,000, you know, put in whatever amount of money you want, I have to play for you guys with the Cubs. That was like that. You know, certainly many years, you know, with Banks, Sano, and Williams, the Sosa years are closest I see to the way that the fans and the player respond to each other. Dawson was the same way with the players, with the fans in right field. But that connection, you know, for outfielders after, as PCA put it, coming back in and getting ready to play defense during a game, you know, that's Wrigley-like, and that's a separator for him.
Coming into this series, the Cubs have been winning games without slug, and they've since found some slug over the last couple of games. But I think even inside of a loss, Bruce, that it's impressive that this team never seems to feel like they're out of a game.
Yeah, I think you're right, Lawrence. And I talked to a couple of the guys after the game about that, Swanson, and I talked to PCA a little bit about that as well. And I said to Swanson, you know, today you did what you guys normally do with good pitchers. And Lawrence, we saw it with Skeens a week ago, that they got these really good pitchers. Peralta is one of the best pitchers in the league. And he was, I think, 8-3 lifetime against the Cubs with a sub-3 ERA coming in lifetime against them. And they got him. They got both of these really good pitchers who pitched great. Skeens threw a shutout, but they got them both out after five innings by working counts and just getting these very tough pitchers out of the game. And then they were able to catch up and move toward a different outcome against those bullpens. So it's not that they have bad bullpens. Both teams had pretty good. Pittsburgh pitched great during that series, but the reality is that, okay, we'll get this guy out of here, we'll make him work hard, and then we'll clean up against the bullpen. It's not that easy, but the Cubs have managed to do that on many occasions so far this year.
Bruce Levine joining us from Wrigley Field as we talk about the Cubs. They lose today. They still have a nice lead in the National League Central. They'll take on Seattle this weekend over at Wrigley Field. Bruce, one of the things that I've found impressive about Craig Counsell this season, like getting a chance to watch him manage every game for the last year and a half, watching the way that he has managed this bullpen has been great. And quite honestly, Chris Flexen has been a very important part of their bullpen. He was terrific today. And I'm here to tell you, without Flexen, I don't know if the Cubs are able to get back into this game. Those three innings that he provided gave them a window to chip away at the bullpen of Milwaukee.
Great point. And not only that, Lawrence, but gave up one hit, one walk. But the three innings, as you said and astutely pointed to, bridged the game for them to be able to get back into it. And Counsell, after the game, I asked him at the end about Flexen, And he said, this is not only wasn't a big thing for us today, but it's going to help us with the rest of the our bullpen the rest of the weekend, what he was able to do, okay? I'm going to use Chris for long stints like he did today. So it's a testament to Tommy Hotovy and the pitching people as well, how they brought a lot of guys who you never even thought of were going to be a part of this bullpen during spring training. And they've been superlative, you know, pitching under a one ERA since May 14th.
I was saying earlier that watching this game and not being at the ballpark, you could feel the engagement from the Wrigley crowd. And it's been a rough couple of years for Cubs fans where they felt like their team could be better than they actually are. The anticipation of big moments. I like what I'm seeing from Cubs fans, too, that they're engaged and they're having fun with this team that's jumped out to a nice lead in the Central.
If you can't enjoy this team, there's something wrong with you. I have a lot of Sox fans that are friends of mine saying, you know, you know I hate the Cubs, but watching them is really good baseball, okay? And they, you know, one thing about Sox fans, they know good baseball, whether they're seeing it on the South Side or not. So you know, they've been tipping their hat to the fact that it's a really entertaining team that can beat you in so many different ways. And what you said about the fans, again, it's Thursday afternoon in June, right? And they put in the most fans that they put in the ballpark all year, 41,078. And they've just, you know, this is turning into and will be probably for the rest of the summer a very difficult ticket. I mean, they're basically going to be selling out probably all the way until September, unless something catastrophic happens. So it's a fun time on the north side. And I'll say this again to you, Lawrence. Chicago fans in general have been dealing with subpar teams for a few years now. And it's a good thing for the city, even if you're not a Cub fan. It's a good thing to have a winning team playing and people getting excited about it.
Bruce, how do you think the Devers move affects the trade market overall?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that because I think it's an outlier because of Boston really feeling that he was a losing player even though he's a winning hitter. Mm-hmm. So those are two contrary things. He's one of the top RBI guys in the game, one of the best hitters in the game. At 28, he still has four or five, you know, good years, really good years ahead of him. But the idea that Boston said, you know, we don't want this attitude here any longer. So they moved him and basically, I think, open up a big avenue, not for this year necessarily to win, but next year to be one of those teams. And, you know, I hate to rain on people's parade, but one of those teams that are probably going to be looking at Kyle Tucker.
Yep.
And saying, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, you know, who's going to fight the hardest to get one of the very best players in the game? And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's a reality and something I've been thinking about ever since that Devers trade. So I don't think it necessarily opens up pitching markets where the Cubs are really going to be playing hopefully a big part in trying to get an ace from somewhere else and maybe a bullpen guy or two. Although right now, the way they've been pitching, one of their biggest problems they're facing in about 10 days or whenever Imanaga is back, he's going to pitch on Friday and then maybe one more. Biggest problem they're going to have is who do they move out of the rotation and where do you put them, right? And who do you send to the minor leagues since just about every single pitcher in that bullpen is pitching his butt off. So nice problems to have for a very good Cub team right now.
Seeing Milwaukee up close, what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses?
They play the game right. They don't make too many mistakes. You know, Pat Murphy is an outstanding manager who gets the most out of his team. As he said to me in the first day of the series, he said, you know, the Cubs are outstanding. They're wonderful. He always throws compliments their way. We have to do everything right to win on a $108 million payroll. And they normally do. They develop, they scout well, they develop well. When they get to the big leagues, they don't make a lot of mistakes. So It's not a team full of stars, but it's a team full of baseball players that know how to win games. I don't expect them to go away.
I don't either. It's funny. I'm trying to get a read on the Cardinals while they play the White Sox, but that makes it difficult to get a read on them. But we'll see. We're not even at the halfway point, although we will be next week.
I mean, the point you make, Lawrence, is they have 13 or all of their games with the Cardinals still in front of them. Okay, something to keep your eye on as you move forward here. This next month when they start playing the Cardinals.
I know we're a little early, but what's inside the clubhouse looking like this weekend?
Well, I'm not quite sure. You know, I think that we're going to have Steve Stone on. He's going to talk to the White Sox at 10:30. Dan Wilson, the manager of the Seattle Mariners, is a longtime friend, and they're fighting to get back in position in the American League West. So I think we're going to call on him. I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning with PCA going on the morning show.
Yeah, so 9:30.
We're going to be bringing back some of that. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, Mr. David is going to have an opportunity to talk with Pete Crow Armstrong tomorrow on the Mully and Haas show. So that is definitely a must listen. Bruce, thanks as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Lawrence, great. Thank you.
That's Bruce Levine. He is over at Wrigley Field. Great stuff in there, too. About PCA and how he's watching him. You can't take your eye off him, man. Like, you just can't. He comes up now, people expect him to do great things. And he's obliged for the most part.
To get that call last night from Pat and to see them talking about him, a movie, and then now a sequel today, just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that was
loves a spotlight.
That was well done by Coom. Well done to talk about the idea of the sequel. Let me take a couple phone calls here. Let's talk with Dirk. Hey, Dirk, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up, man?
Hey, I got a question to ask about. Maybe you can enlighten me on our catching situation.
Okay.
I know it's kind of been, you know, hidden over by how good everybody else is hitting on that team, but Carson Kelly is, you know, he's dropped over 100 points in the last 6 weeks, and what's going on with Miguel Amaya? Is he coming back anytime soon?
You know what? I don't have the injury report on Amaya, but I will say that if you're looking for production from, and I hate to say this as a guy who grew up catching, if you're looking for offensive production from your catchers, it's rare. It's rare that there are guys like Cal Raleigh out here that are great behind the plate and great at the dish. But the Cubs catchers have been really solid. Even Reese McGuire offensively has been really good this year. Carson Kelly was never going to hit at the level that he was hitting at in April and May for the rest. Like, that's just not, it's not his player profile. So anything that you're getting from those guys offensively is gravy. That's what I would tell you. Like, don't look at that as an offensive strength going forward. It's been an offensive strength, but I wouldn't count on it the way that you should count on, say, a Suzuki or Pecor Armstrong or Kyle Tucker or maybe more from Dansby Swanson, for example. He went out today. But don't count on the catching position. Hey, Zach, you're on the score. Zach? Well, poor Zach. He had his chance, man, and he blew it. What the hell? Now he's going to call back and be like, he's ready. He didn't say anything. What are we supposed to do with that? Alex, am I talking with Judson?
You are. Judson is coming up next for some crosstalk.
Mr. Baseball himself will talk baseball with us next here on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It's Sarah Spain!
Thank you for having me. This was a fun way to spend my day. Everything everyone said about the score and you being a tyrant is totally wrong. Wait, is that what you want me to say? Write it down again.
You're not a tyrant.
You are a great person to work with.
Afternoons on the Score.
Tomorrow, make sure that you check out what's going on the Rahimi and Harris show, because they are going to be at Gallagher Way from 10 until 12:45. Will be Marshall Harris and Mark Grody. Then Zach Zaidman's got the pregame starting at 12:45. It's all brought to you by IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation. They'll be on hand with activities to show you how you can be safe driving home from the game. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more. Spiegs will be back tomorrow. We will do a full interrogation of his anthem singing, not singing, that went on yesterday. For those of you who don't know, the Cubs game yesterday was rained out. Spiegs is going to do the anthem on August 18th, the doubleheader that's scheduled between the Cubs and the Brewers. He did get to do rehearsals, so there's a little bit of it, and he had a great experience. So we'll get the full experience from him after tomorrow's Cubs-Mariners game. Judson Richards is going to take care of you for the rest of the night. He is here in the studio. What's up, sir?
Hi, Lawrence. Will Spiegs do better because he already had a walkthrough and can see it, and then he's got a couple months to sit on it? Or worse, because he's got too long to think about it.
I am concerned about the fact that he's got 2 months to think about it and ruminate on it. But I think that he needed to really hear the sound system. And from the way he reacted yesterday, I think it's going to be a positive for him, because now he kind of knows what to expect, what it's going to sound like. He kept talking about the fullness of that, because you're not plugged into an amp. You're plugged into the stadium sound system. So hearing it in his headphone, I think it helped him.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't have to worry about that factor of it, like being in awe of it. Now he knows and he can recalibrate, but we got 10 seconds of it.
No, he's going to kill it.
Yeah, he was feeling the video of it is even better, because he's swaying back and forth.
Eyes closed or open?
I think eyes open, but he was definitely feeling it. So now that he can continue to rehearse with his buddy, Kurt Morrison, I think he's going to crush it in August.
Too. Yeah. Are you going to be there?
I think now we actually can be.
Right.
Because I don't think we'll have a show.
Right.
Because it's a doubleheader. I don't think we'll have a show.
And it'll air on the station, right? You do get the anthems in the pregame, as I've learned.
Oh, and we're going to make sure that we have... Our plan yesterday was Tanny was going to leave and go, record it.
Right.
So that we had it, and listeners of the Spiegel and Holmes show didn't have to wait. We wanted to get them at least the rehearsal in full to play back before 6 o'clock and then say, hey, make sure that you're listening as Zach wraps up pregame so you can hear the whole thing play out live.
So you extended the postgame. Can I extend your extended post? I mean, what?
Yeah.
I've got a thought on PCA. Is it taboo to say, I want to see a guy in the Home Run Derby?
No.
It's like Bobby Abreu ruined it for everyone.
No, I think it's all right to ask, especially when you're talking about one of the league's young stars.
Right.
To put him on display and know that he's going to do it with some flair, I'm all right with it. There's so many...
So you wouldn't have a problem if he did it this year?
I wouldn't. But there are so many pieces of evidence both ways. Some guys it doesn't bother at all. Some guys it does bother. I'm whatever he wants to do. It's a great way to promote the Cubs. It's a great way to promote PCA. It's a great way to grow fans, because even if people are now kind of waking up to it on All-Star Week, and they can go, oh, that's the guy with the blue hair. Oh, that's the guy that makes the crazy catches. Oh, this guy's cool. great. It's good for baseball, but whatever Pete wants to do, I will support.
But I feel like we're in a place where a majority of Cubs fans don't want to see PCA because of what's attached to it possibly affecting his second half.
I think people worry a little needlessly on that.
Well, let's find out.
There's going to be time to... And plus, he swings it in everything anyway. if you look at
his
swing
rate... He may be out of the
rate,
first round. Let's not worry about him getting too exhausted.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it. And it's good for everyone, I think. So I'm for it. What are you going to do on the show tonight?
Well, we're going to get into that a little bit. Okay. I just want to just... We should celebrate Craig Counsell. Can you believe he's never been a manager of the year? He's tracking towards it.
Even though he's the highest paid manager in the game.
But you'll like this. Mike Farron will join us at 6:30.
Oh, I love Mike. That's my guy.
Who the Cubs potentially are eyeing. We'll talk to Carmen Vitale at 7 o'clock.
I love the Bears. Carmen Vitale. That's my girl.
Drew Stevens will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into some Bulls.
Mr. Breaking News Drew Stevens from It's the Bigs. Look at you with your show tonight.
I'm excited.
All right, Judson Richards is going to take care of you from now until 9 o'clock. So show him the same type of love that you show us. Big thanks to Alex. Shout out to my guy Studs. I see my man Ray back over there helping me land the plane. We'll be back on tomorrow after Cubs baseball, and we'll get all of the juicy details from Matt Spiegel about his excursion to Wrigley Field. Live and Local continues next with Judson Richards here on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.